The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Welcome back to Braves Country. I'm Scott Mon, along with our host, Tug Cowart. And with us today, originally from Dublin, Georgia, Austin Snell is here. He finished his time in the Air Force and moved to Nashville in 2022. And since then, Snell's unique blend of rock and country, which he calls grunge country, grabbed the attention of fans on social media, and now he's approaching 100 million streams across all platforms. Austin's been all over SiriusXM. He's opened for the great Willie Nelson, and now he's releasing his debut EP, Muddy Water Rockstar, on September 8th via Riverhouse Artists and Warner Music Nashville. And he's going on his first headlining tour, which I love, including a big show in Athens, Georgia, on Friday, September 9th at one of our favorite venues, Tug, the Fabulous 40 Watt Club.
Got the hat on.
Yeah, there you go. He's a Braves fan from way back, so we're super excited to meet this rising country music star, Austin Snell. Welcome to Braves Country, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Glad to be here.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Dude, it's so cool to have you. I love the hat. Yep. The MWR, we are discussing that a little bit, because I thought that, because he was in the Air Force, I thought it was like something like the Navy does. MWR is morale, welfare, and recreation. Turns out that is not the case.
Yeah.
You want to explain what it is?
Yeah, they got all the acronyms in the military.
Yeah, but, man, everything's an acronym.
It stands for Muddy Water Rockstar.
Love it.
It's the EP title, tour title, everything. It's kind of all-encompassing. And I don't know, I thought it would be cool to kind of start a brand around it. So we're doing the hats,
for sure.
We're doing shirts, and we're going to drop merch and have all the stuff.
I love it. Got the camo in there, so outdoors guy.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Hunting and fishing.
Yeah, grew up in southern Georgia, so my dad was always on the lake or on the river or in the woods. So
you can't be from that part. Well, you can't be from Georgia, really, and not be interested in it a little bit.
Yeah, we get out there. I don't do a whole lot of it anymore.
I get it.
Stay super busy, but I try to get on the golf course as much as I can.
So attaboy.
That gets me outside a little bit.
Okay. And how do you pick up golf? How'd you pick up golf?
So I played a little bit in middle school. I played on the team.
It was horrible.
I went through the whole spring on the team, barely made the team, and played two tournaments and quit the second tournament.
Because I
don't have the patience to play like competitively. I just go out and play. I don't keep count.
So yeah, I'm with you, because I usually lose 40 balls by the fourth hole.
Exactly.
And so there's no need to keep count.
Yeah. Like, we played a course that I'd never played before in Tennessee this past week. And it was a super nice course. I didn't have to pay for it.
That's the best kind to play.
And they had a cart guy that would come out and bring you balls if you needed more balls.
Because they knew.
Yeah. And so I lost at least 12 and then got another case and went through that whole case.
Attaboy.
And he came out there probably 5 times.
Is he also the beer guy? Same guy?
No, different.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So
they bring you beers. His sole job was to bring balls out to people. So.
They bring you beers, so you lose the balls, and then you buy more balls. Dude, that sounds
working.
Like...
Yeah. We kept him busy for
that's
sure.
That's an industry right there. Yeah. In and of itself, man. You can make some money doing that. Goodness gracious. But,
yes,
but that's awesome, man. I love the brand, love the cami. It fits, you know, it fits what country is, which
exactly.
is what I love, you know, man. Just being from Georgia is, you know, to me, that's the most important thing in the world. The Kane Brown song, Bury Me in Georgia, count me in.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't care what y'all bury me in, as long as I'm in that red clay somewhere, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it kind of just explains itself, and how I ended up doing the music I did is because my dad was a huge, so he... We're obviously country music fans, but my dad was a huge rock fan.
Me too, man. I love both as well.
Yeah, he grew me up on the whole Three Doors Down is my favorite band to this day.
Okay.
And then my mom was a huge country fan. She's a huge Allen fan. So I kind of just did both.
That's awesome.
When I started making music, I was like, why not just do both of them?
Yeah, man.
And
you see a lot of that now, especially with, like, you know, like, right. Al Dean, he's got AC/DC guitars.
Right.
You know, it's not unusual. You go see Hardy in concert, man, he looks like he's got a rock band behind him. I mean,
insane. He does have a rock band.
What am I saying? It looked like he does. That's a, yeah, he even has a song on the rock charts, if I'm not mistaken.
He does. Yeah, he had a number one, I think, this past year, right?
Yeah. He's got a rock band
behind him just singing country lyrics.
That's right,
that's
absolutely
what is happening.
Which
there.
Is that kind of the
that's kind of same vein. Yeah.
I like
same
that.
Vein. My drummer actually randomly met. So when you move to Nashville, you randomly meet people, and like you don't have, you know, there's no plan ever. At least for me, there was no plan. But I was playing my first full band show in Nashville, and I needed a drummer. And John Langston's drummer was actually supposed to fill in for me and play the one show. And he had to cancel and sent me a fill-in guy. And the fill-in guy ended up being my full-time drummer, but he came from literally the metal world. Like, he's a metal drummer. He played for Hollowfront. And I don't know if you guys listen to metal music at all.
I don't know that band.
He played for Hollowfront, and it's just a huge metal band. And he quit and moved to Nashville and just wanted to do the country thing. So like, he ended up being my drummer. And it fit perfectly because we were doing the rock thing. And
this guy's on the road with a bunch of rock bands.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of metal that I didn't want to see, but I like it. Anyway, you know, I learned to like it, and I like I like the mashup thing, though. You know, if you think about it, that's something country music's been doing for a long time. Right. Really, country and western, that was a mashup. You know what I mean? With two styles that kind of came together, rock and roll, same thing.
Yeah.
And but have you experienced any blowback in Nashville? People telling you can't do that?
I mean, it's definitely not as widely accepted in Nashville. I would say that there's an audience for it for sure, or I wouldn't be where I am. Because, I mean, before I even, you know, signed the record deal and the publishing deal and this and that, I was just literally just writing songs and posting them on TikTok and Instagram, and that's kind of how I got my start. And I wrote Excuse the Mess, which was the first song I ever put out, which was very rock-leaning. And I posted a video of me playing it on guitar, and people loved it. And that's kind of just what got me my start. And I don't know, if the people want it, then why not do it? You know,
absolutely, man.
You know, another mashup kind of scene that's going on is our buddy down in Macon, Georgia. What's our friend who's a big time rapper? He's busting out right now. You know, Demon Jones.
Oh yes.
And have you ever? What is your take on country rap? Can you accept country rap since you want folks to accept?
Yeah, I mean,
country metal?
I think. Here's what I think as far as country music goes. I mean, if you want to call it country music, you have to be talking about country stuff. I mean, it has to have a story, I think.
Doesn't matter the presentation.
Yeah, I don't think the presentation really matters that much. I think as long as you're telling a story that means something to you.
I agree.
It can come out any way you want it to. So
there you go.
That's my take on it.
I think that might be a hot take, but
no, I don't think it really is, man. I think maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it might have been. I don't know that it is.
Well, the reason I ask, fellas, is I want to see the country rock guys like you, Brantley Gilbert, some of these guys. I want to see them maybe embrace the country rap and have that kind of fusion happen on tour.
Well, Jelly Roll is doing that.
Jelly Roll is, you're right. And you have some dates coming up with Jelly Roll, I saw.
Yeah, we played with him, I think it was last month in Indiana, and it was the craziest show I've ever played in.
Did his crowd really take
it? His crowd is just one of a kind. Like, he's like,
unique.
And they are infatuated with him.
Yeah.
And they're infatuated with whoever he brings out with him.
So my sister-in-law has no... She didn't care about country at all. She's never been into it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she told me, she was like, I heard that Jelly Roll's doing country. I'm going to start listening to him. And I was like, why? She was like, he was in a hip-hop act called Tech N9ne. She's like, I loved him then. She's like, I can't wait to hear what he's doing now.
Right.
So this is bringing somebody to country music that has never once in her life enjoyed the genre or been interested in it at all.
Right.
And all of a sudden, a girl from New York is going, I'm a country fan now.
Right.
Or at least I'm enough of a fan to go check it out.
Yeah. I mean, people are falling in love with not just his music, but his story.
His story is unbelievable, man.
Huge story that just, like, compels people.
And it does.
Like I said, like, I mean, us being out there with him, like whoever he brings out on tour with him or, like, at a show with him, his fans are just as infatuated with them as they are him, so.
Hey, man, let's get into your story.
Absolutely.
Much respect that you're a veteran, man. I really appreciate that. I mean, thank you both for your service. And I can say that with my whole heart because I'm an Army brat for my first 20 years of life. I was living on post, and so I know what it's like to an extent. Tell us about your Air Force career. How did you wind up going in the Air Force? Where did you serve? What did you do?
Yeah, so I had a huge kind of journey that got me into the Air Force. I knew I was going to join the military at some point in my life. I knew I wanted to do it probably after I got out of high school, but I wanted to join the Army. And so I went to MEPS. You know what MEPS is.
Of course, yeah. Go do your tests. Do your physicals.
Right. And I was a senior in high school, and I was going to MEPS to try and do Army Ranger School is what I wanted to do.
That's big time there. That's quite an aspiration.
Shooting for the
top.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just what I wanted to do. I've always kind of just wanted to do that my whole life.
Which is really impressive because when I joined the Navy – I never once said, "Yeah, I think I want to be a Navy SEAL," because yeah. I knew I didn't have it.
Like, Doug was in the radar room.
That's right. I was on the comms. I was in the radar room. I was not about to go.
But you got
to
know your strengths.
Yeah, and mine was not being a Navy SEAL. But although I've never met none of the people that I served with, who and there was probably 10 of them that went to Buds mm-hmm. out in San Diego. Zero of them made it. So I knew it had to be.
But they say even if you're not going to make it, because it's a small percentage that do, mm-hmm. that just going out for that is right. going to make you a better soldier, right?
Well, the reason I brought it up is because it's so impressive. Like, you knew you wanted to be a Ranger, which is incredible.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what was going to happen if I got there, but I knew that's what I wanted to do, and I trained for it pretty heavily. And so I went to MEPS, and I had a knee surgery my junior year from wrestling and had honestly forgotten about it because it was not that big of a surgery. It was just a little scope or whatever they did. And went to MEPS 5 times for the Army to try to get a waiver for the knee surgery to get this contract that I wanted. And they wouldn't give it to me. So I went to the Air Force guy. I was like, "Hey, I want to do TACV," which is they call in airstrikes, and they're attached to Ranger units and stuff. So I was like, "I'll just do that then." And I went to the Air Force guy, went to MEPS 4 more times for the Air Force to try to get a waiver for that, got a waiver for the knee surgery, and failed the depth perception test.
Oh, no.
And so then I was just knocked out of that. So I was like, "Dude, you know, I'm too far deep into this now. I'm going to do something." And I ended up being an aircraft mechanic. So that's okay. what I did for 4 years. And then I worked on the big cargo planes, and then I got out.
Yeah, man.
Which is probably the best case scenario, you know.
Yeah.
Looking back, I wouldn't have probably found music and wouldn't have started playing music because I'd have been too busy.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had two brothers-in-law who are both retired. One was enlisted, became an officer, and was a missileer. Mm-hmm. And then another that was in the medical field there in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And just good folks doing good work. But you're right, man. If the good Lord puts you on that path, man, you're not
Absolutely.
Sitting here right now.
Absolutely.
So that's a great story in and of itself. And it's funny, man, because were you still in when you started playing and when you started putting music out?
Yeah, so I picked up a guitar. It would have been in 2016. So I was 19 years old. I turned 19 in basic training.
I did too.
And my follow-on training after basic training was in Charleston, South Carolina. And I had a roommate, so it was me and one other guy, and we shared a room, and that was where we were for tech school. And we hated each other.
Oh, wow.
We absolutely hated each other. So we didn't talk.
Like, that's tough.
If we were in the same room, like we were there together, like he would stay over there, I would stay over here, and like we would not like talking to each other at all. So I was bored one day, and I was just watching YouTube videos, and of all people, I was watching Ed Sheeran do the loop pedal thing, like his live.
It's incredible.
Which is insane. And I was like, "Dude, that's super cool." And so I was like, "That's cool. I'm going to go buy a guitar." And we weren't getting, I mean, you know, we don't get paid anything.
Sure,
While we're in.
Good
at least,
Lord.
At least while we're in training.
Yeah.
You know? And so I spent like my last $400 on a Martin and just taught myself how to play and like didn't really. Like I said, didn't have a plan. I've never had a plan, really. I just started playing music and fell in love with it. And one thing led to another and started writing songs and posting those. And it kind of just led me to meeting a few people in Nashville before I got there. And it kind of just all happened and unfolded.
Dude, so somebody had a plan. You might not have been you, but somebody had a plan for you.
Somebody definitely had a plan for me,
yeah,
for sure.
That's amazing.
For sure.
Hey, I want to get more into your music, but quickly, I saw in some of your TikTok videos a couple of other hats. One that let me know you were an outdoorsman, I saw that Winchester hat. So I guess you shoot a shotgun every once in a while, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And the other is that you were wearing a Braves hat in a really old video. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your Braves fan love? Are you Bravos, right?
Yeah, so I grew up playing sports. My dad made sure I played baseball growing up. And I played baseball up until, I want to say it was 8th or 9th grade. And I thought I was a better football player, but I wasn't. I sucked at football. I wasn't big enough. Should have probably stuck it out with baseball. And so
I can't imagine with your height, there wasn't nothing there, man. Like
My brother's the big football guy. He got a football scholarship. But,
wow, that's
cool. Yeah, so I wanted to play football instead of baseball, and I quit and probably shouldn't have. But, yeah, growing up, I was a huge Braves fan. Chipper Jones was, like, my idol.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Growing up. And, like I said, we had went to a few Turner Field games and fell in love with that. And this is my first time here at this stadium.
Truest, yeah, man.
Super sick.
Oh, my gosh, it's incredible. It's like Disneyland for Braves fans.
Absolutely. But I have to admit, I don't keep up with it as much as I used to.
A little busy, I see.
Yeah, yeah. I know we're having a good year this year.
Yeah, we are.
I know
yeah.
enough to know
best
that.
Record in all of baseball.
Yeah, and I think
now would be a good time to tune in, man.
Absolutely.
You know, just keep up with it on your phone a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I'll come out on social media when we're in the World Series again.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
Like everybody else.
Well, give us three of your favorite Braves when you were a kid. So folks
Chipper,
out there,
we already got Chipper.
Chipper Jones.
Chipper. I was a huge Swanson fan.
Yeah, Dansby is now in Chicago.
And I was a huge Freeman fan.
Yeah, he's down in L.A.
Freeman, okay.
Yeah, yeah it was a great – what about the old Turner Field days? There was anybody that used
Not
to love
really,
other
man.
Chipper?
I looked up to Chipper just like –
Yeah, he was the guy.
He was just my idol. Yeah, and I wore the one left-hand glove like he did when I hit. And,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just
– Yeah, he was
everybody's guy, I think.
One of the best ever. So
oh, my gosh.
You can't go wrong with Chipper Jones.
Absolutely.
No kidding, man. It is,
but I think Georgia is having a good sports year in general.
Yes,
so you're a Georgia Bulldog as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
I'm about them dogs.
Dude, I mean, I think we're going to have another good year.
I think we're going to three-peat. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
I don't want to say it, but
schedule's a cakewalk.
Yeah.
So all you
got
to do is
UT Martin first week.
Exactly.
I think, so.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Just two trap games, South Carolina, Auburn.
I would think Tennessee. Tennessee, actually,
I don't consider
think.
Tennessee a real team anymore, but people are tuning out.
That's right. No.
Sorry, Nashville friends.
Yeah. Hey,
I mean, they're ranked.
They are. Absolutely. Dear friend of our family is a freshman wide receiver at Tennessee, yeah. Number 35. Look out for Garrett Young.
Yeah, I mean, everybody comes back around at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And Tennessee's a legendary brand, man. It's not like they're
absolutely.
It's been a while. It's been a minute, but they come back around. Now they ain't beating Georgia this year, but maybe
maybe
never again.
Three games: Tennessee, Auburn, and South Carolina.
Maybe Florida. Florida could creep up.
The rest of them are kind of scrimmages.
Yeah. Here's the deal: get through those. You get to the playoffs. Right. That's where the real work starts.
Exactly. But I think we're gonna have another good year for sure.
Speaking of the real work, man, you have been working. Music career's taken off. Muddy Water Rockstar comes out September 8th on Riverhouse and Warner Music. And your focus track is Send You the Bill, which you wrote with a couple other guys. Tell us about that song, if you will. Send You the Bill. I like it because I can relate.
Yeah.
Tug can't because he's got a great wife of many years, and he hadn't had to put up with it. But right. I've been through a few, and if I could invoice him, man, I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, I get my I get my song titles from everywhere. From conversations to TV shows to
that's awesome.
Like just hearing people talk or whatever. Road signs, like I've gotten titles from road signs
for sure.
And I was watching a TV show called The Staircase, and it was literally like I don't know if you guys have watched.
I haven't. Sounds creepy though.
It is. It's like a murder trial or whatever. And I was watching it, and somehow the conversation came up about therapy, like this guy needing therapy, and he was like, "I'm gonna send you my therapy bill because it's your fault that I'm here."
Right.
And I was like, that's super cool. I don't know what that would mean in a song, like in a country song.
File it away.
Yeah. And so I just write songs on my phone or like titles and just kind of keep a file of them. It kind of just came out in a writing room, and I had the song or the title called Send You the Bill. And the thing that made the most sense was a bar scene. Getting over a heartbreak. So that's what we went with. And Sydney Cubitt and Ben Foster were on that song with me as well, and they're insane writers in Nashville. And they brought that song to life for sure.
That's awesome, man. So, I love to see that, especially when it happens like that. The way
absolutely.
You're talking, you know, just the progression. Because as a guy that's not a songwriter, and I don't have that ability to hear the process. Mm-hmm. You know, I always find that really fascinating. They need, you know, how they do like the NFL. They do what's the show on HBO when it's when they
inside
go through
the NFL.
When they go through what is it?
Hard Knocks.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, John. Hard Knocks, and then they've got a new one on Netflix that's called Quarterbacks, and they just follow them through. Right, it's mm-hmm. it's the process, right. And I'm always so fascinated. Mac Powell, who was in the band Third Day, which is a contemporary Christian band,
yeah,
they did
yeah.
really, really well.
They play. So my mom used to be an event coordinator at Heart of Georgia Technical College,
okay,
which was in Dublin, and they had them play a show at her college.
That's awesome.
And I got to meet all of the band and like all of them.
Super cool guys.
Super cool guys.
I've known Mac for probably 10 years or
yeah.
so now.
Yeah, I was probably 6 years old.
Yeah, yeah. They're really.
I definitely remember meeting him. For
oh
sure.
My gosh! Yeah.
Sounds like an impactful moment. Like that might have. Kind of spurred something inside.
Could maybe it did. I've always said that I think I've had like a deeper appreciation of music than the people I grew up around, just from a sense of like I would hear like a guitar part in a song or like a lyric in a song, and like I would always just like freak out over it, and I would bring it to my friends and like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they don't get
guitar
it.
Guitar riff, whatever.
Yeah, I get
and,
it.
I would just freak out about it, and like I've just always thought that I've had a I don't know.
Just
a, for music.
Yeah, just
yeah.
an appreciation that
absolutely.
Others don't. So yeah. with Mac, that was the thing. Like I always said, I wanted to go and sit in through recording a record, and he was like, mm-hmm. "You'll be bored out of your mind."
Yeah.
And I disagree, man. I hang on the details. Like I love it.
Yeah.
Like if you put me, you know, if you just wrote a book and I read the book about it, I probably wouldn't be involved.
Right.
But to be there to see it all come down, I think I would be so into that. I would nerd out on that the way. Yeah. Other
well,
people
I think,
nerd
it's a
out
lot,
on
I think it's a lot
TV
different
shows.
Nowadays than
I'm
it used
sure.
to be.
Yeah, for sure.
It used to be, you know, the whole band would go in the studio and they'd just record the whole thing and they'd mm-hmm. sing through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more tedious now because you bring a guitar in one day and he plays the guitar 500 times and gets the perfect
makes take. It perfect.
And the vocal guy comes in and he sings and then the drums, they'll send it out to another guy that plays the drums in a different studio. So it's a little different. But
yeah,
I would love to have like went to a studio back when like AC/DC or something was like recording an album,
so
and they're just in there shredding, dude.
Rock and
yeah,
roll
oh, yeah, dude.
Another fun process that you would love, Tug, is making a music video. I think you would have a good time on the music.
Well, you
video.
Have some experience with that.
I've made quite a few, but I really enjoy your music video for "Send You the Bill." 25,000 views in the first 6 days on YouTube.
That ain't bad.
Cool.
That's a good start, man.
That ain't bad.
First country artist ever selected to SiriusXM's Artist Accelerator program, where they kind of put you on all the shows. Congratulations on
Thank
that.
You,
you deserve it. And tell us about making that music video, though. Was that your first video ever? And
no, so I think I've done, Lance, we've done 4 or 5 now at this point.
Wow.
Excuse the Mess was my first one, and I was a nervous wreck in that. I still am. I don't like being on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not the center of attention kind of guy, but I've definitely gotten used to it, and I get to enjoy it a little more now and, like, soak in the moment a little bit. And,
cool.
This video in particular, all my friends that I met when I moved to town came and were extras in the video. So
that's
were, like,
awesome.
Just watching us film it, and they'd, like, walk around the bar, and, like, when you see the first scene where, like, I'm sitting at the bar and, like, people are walking around, those are sure. all my best friends in Nashville.
That's
doing
cool,
that.
Man.
So, yeah, that was super cool.
But, you know, there was extras in it, but you really get a sense of solitude from the video. It's about, in my estimation, what it's like to go through that terrible breakup mm-hmm. and be alone and be looking for answers. And where do you go for answers when you're suffering through things like that?
Man, I fall back on my religion a lot. I try to, at least. My mom grew me up in the church, and that's actually where Excuse the Mess came from, was a prayer. And then at the end of the prayer, I said, Excuse the Mess, and wrote that down on my phone. And 5 years later, somewhat, became a song and my biggest song yet. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I do that, and I don't always handle it the right way, I'm sure.
Okay, point to the person that does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, different ways.
Yeah.
I usually call my mom if I'm struggling.
That's the first thing, man, call mama.
Yep.
Yeah. I do the same thing. And I don't even try to, you know, I don't even try to pretend anymore. I just get it wrong.
Oh, no,
I get
she
it wrong
knows.
More than I ever get it right, and I just call.
Yeah.
Say, all right, Mama, I messed it up again.
Yep.
You know, and she's
yep.
like, I love you anyway, and so does Jesus.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
She makes me feel
same,
better
same
about
thing, yeah.
Well,
like
when you get old and
her.
Your mama's gone, all you got is to fall back on prayer. So, and yep. I love the best songwriters are the ones who kind of are using it for their own therapy,
mm-hmm.
you know, because everybody
absolutely.
Can relate to that.
Absolutely.
And I wondered if you'd play us one here on the show so
Let's
we can
it,
kind of let folks hear what's
absolutely.
Out there in Braves Country.
Yeah, I'll play a new one real quick.
All right.
If that's all right.
All right, we're glad to have you here, and you got your guitar ready. That's great. We got Austin Snell. You can check him out on his website at austinsnell.com.
You can check him out on all his socials at Austin Snell Music, and he's right here on the Braves Country Podcast.
Let's do it. I'll play a new one off of the EP that will or won't be out by the time this comes out. We'll figure it out.
We'll go with Will. Let's go with Will.
She was hurricane weather. I should have known better than to think I could change her path. She was sitting right for me. All my friends trying to warn me about messing with a girl like that. It's almost always hard lesson and heartbreak. But here I am trying to drink away the pain, and I'll be here till they call last call. And her kiss hit like a hell of a high. I was playing with fire, I was loving on trouble. Now my heart's just a pile of gone wrong rubble, and it's all my fault. I'm trying to build a house with a wrecking ball. Oh, oh, oh. No way I wouldn't let in that heaven and in them do whatever she wanted to. Saw the trespass shining across that line. It was something I had to see. Cause that's just the rebel in me. But here I am trying to drink away the pain, and I'll be here till they call last call. Her kiss hit like a hell of a high, and I took a hell of a fall. I was playing with fire, I was loving on trouble. Now my heart's just a pile. Trying to drink away the pain, and I'll be here till they call last call. Her kiss hit like a hell of a high, and I took a hell of a fall. I was playing with fire, I was loving on trouble. Now my heart's just a pile of gone wrong rubble, and it's all my fault. I'm trying to build a house with a wrecking ball. Oh.
Son, that's good right there. Trying to build a house with a wrecking ball.
Boy.
I think we've all been there at some point in your life, right? Where you just can't.
I have.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
I made that mistake one too many times, for sure.
Hopefully you got it figured out now, right?
We're trying to. Yeah.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Is that one about anybody in particular or an amalgamation of several problems?
I think it's a compilation of a lot of different decisions I've made in my life. Yeah, for sure.
Hanging there a little bit. when you're not ready or when it's not right, it can feel like a wrecking ball for sure.
Absolutely.
Tug, again, does not know anything about
man,
this.
I've been fortunate. I've been with my best friend. We've been married for 23 years. I mean, that's
this is the luckiest
awesome,
man.
That's awesome. It is, and I'm thankful and appreciative and never take that for granted, man. Because yeah. when it comes around and you know there's nothing better. There's nothing.
I you know what it is? We should have gone back. We should have been in the Navy. That's what it was. Navy guys, they get all the girls.
Yeah. The Navy guys got a Navy.
Yeah, they do.
We got those goofy uniforms, though.
Yeah, well, we get AC at the hotels though, so we're doing all right. Yeah, we're doing all right.
It's funny. I always tell my son. And my wife too, when we're flying, and I was like, if it's a nice light landing, like if you're on the airplane, man, that's an Air Force pilot, because they have, you know, got a runway, uh-huh. You can put that thing down, it's so gentle. Yeah. If it's a Navy pilot, it's like, because they're putting a moving object on another moving object, man. Yeah. They've got to get it down, and if it's a Absolutely. Rough, just hit the ground landing, you know, that's Navy pilot.
Yeah.
What have you brought from your Air Force experience into music that you think has been helpful?
Yeah, I mean, I think something that helped me out a lot moving to town was I was used to a heavy work ethic.
And a workload, too, I'm sure, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Working on planes, I worked in a back shop, actually. So we did HSC back checks. So we would check everything on the plane. It was like a yearly inspection of the plane is what we did. And so we were working 13, 14-hour days, 6, 7 days a week sometimes. So when I moved to town, I mean, I was ready to work, and I feel like some people move to town in Nashville and,
expect to be handed
they
kinda, to them.
Well, not even just handed to them, but I mean, they moved to town and it's like this whole new world of like, oh, these bars and like these people and like,
get distracted.
There's music everywhere. And, I think a lot of people fall into a rut of just kind of partying and you have to do that too. Like you have to meet people and network, but, I was doing it for a reason when I moved there and I knew what I wanted to do and where my goal was set. And I moved there ready to work, and that's what it did. So,
what is there anything about Nashville that you expected it to be that it's not, or vice versa, expected it not to be that it is?
Yeah, I mean, I say this all the time, but it's the biggest small town I've ever been in. Everybody knows everybody, and like, there's no secrets. There's like, I mean, if you do something, and you get in trouble in Nashville. Like, it's the whole town that knows about it.
Yeah.
It's just a super tight knit community, and that's a super cool thing because I grew up in a small town, so. Mm-hmm. I respect the closeness of everybody in town and I guess it's just because everybody's doing music and everybody's involved in music and so it's super easy.
And that's the thing, it doesn't matter whether it's an artist or a writer or management or record label or radio or media or whatever, everybody in Nashville is married to the industry.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, you gotta know everybody.
Yeah, you do.
Kinda to make it work, so.
Relationships, everything in life is about relationships.
Every step of life that you go through is all about relationships, in my opinion. Even like, you know, the military is all about relationships too. You know,
I had a buddy that's about to retire, you know. Mm-hmm. He's done 20 plus years.
Yep.
September 1st, so I'm gonna fly down to Jacksonville and be able to be there for, you know, that moment, because I was there the day he got to his first duty station. He was an air guy on the Navy side, and now he's retiring. Had I not met my wife, which I was blessed, I would have done 20 years in the Navy and never be sitting here as well.
I tell people, yeah, if I wasn't doing music, I'd still be in.
Yeah,
for sure.
I sure enjoyed it. I loved it.
It's job security, man.
No kidding. Yeah, there's always something going on.
Yeah, I was going to go in, except that my old man told me, you know, like, we've done this for 20 years, and you got a chance to go to UGA, and you love the music and all that stuff. Go on and do something fun,
What a great thing for your dad, though. To be able to recognize that.
So I'm also right there. If it hadn't been for the music, I'd probably been in the service.
Been the exact opposite, right?
But I apply that service mentality and that work ethic that I learned coming up in that world.
Absolutely.
To music too. Everything has got an operation and goals and you get up in the morning and you go to work. You know, and that's what we got to do in this business. You can't get up in the afternoon and not go to work. Those are the guys who fail, and you read about them or you hear about them on the VH1 Behind the Music and all that. And that song you just played, Wrecking Ball, is it going to be on your
new EP,
Muddy Water Rockstar?
That's on there.
Now, you made a video. We were talking during the break. You made another music video recently for the title track, Muddy Water Rockstar. Right. I see the brand up there.
Yep.
I'm imagining some of that branding's in the video, but I heard you got a little wet in that video, a little
Dude,
muddy.
Man. That video, I was literally telling Lance on the way in here, I was like, that was the most fun that I've ever had filming a video. And I think the videos before that they're all special in their own way. But those videos were super serious and like super like about serious topics. And this video is just fun. And like, Muddy Water Rockstar is a super fun and like careless kind of song. So it was super cool to do something for once that was, you were just able to have fun and like hang out with your friends and jump in a river or a creek.
Yeah, end up with leeches and things.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah,
that's
the best part. Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to jump in a river and bring some leeches out?
Well, what river did you shoot it in?
I don't know what river it was. It was at Scott Hendricks' house.
It was a pond. We made it look like a river, but it was a pond. That's the magic of making a video. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Movie magic.
Yeah, but we put a John boat and a drum kit in the John boat.
Attaboy.
And put the John boat in the water and had a full band scene. And the full band was in the water in front of the boat. And we did like a performance scene
I mean, do you just go to the pawn shop and get cheap instruments or equipment? No,
they brought their stage instruments with them.
But how did they not get ruined?
I mean, well, so they weren't all the way underwater. So we were about thigh deep in water.
Okay, so in my head, I'm like, you're neck deep. You know? I'm like, how are you doing?
I was at one point.
Okay, got it.
But no, the band was about thigh deep, and they brought their stage instruments, which is...
Wow.
I mean, I would have done it.
No.
But, you know, it's they went full out, but...
It's like putting on your Sunday breeches and going out there.
Yeah, but we got out of that scene and thankfully, I didn't have anything on me, but they had leeches all over their legs when they got out of the water.
Wow.
So they're
like Rambo First Blood.
Yeah.
They burn them off or knife them off?
I think they just pulled them off.
Okay.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I went back to the clubhouse.
Yeah, I was done. When they started getting the leeches, I'm out.
Yeah, I got the towel and went in the shower.
We'll look for that on YouTube and across all the platforms. Muddy Water Rockstar video should be out soon. And man, let's talk about the rest of your tour, your first headlining tour, I guess. But along the way, you're going to stop and open for Nickelback, which is one of the bands you mentioned that your dad used to play for you when you were mm-hmm. driving around, doing go-karts with him, right?
Yeah, so I grew up...
racing go-karts?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, we used to race dirt track go-karts. I don't know if you've ever
been North Georgia Speedway.
Yeah.
I've been there.
So we grew up doing that. I started when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and there's a lot of traveling that goes into that. We were South Carolina, Florida, Alabama... mainly just all around Georgia, though. And so it was a lot of road trips. And back when CDs were a thing and you went and bought a CD from Walmart and that's all the music you had, he had a Nickelback, a Three Doors Down, and a Creed CD that he would just play on the radio. And we had an Alan Jackson CD and then a Journey CD. And so that's kind of how I got my music taste. And I think it reflects in the music. At least I hope it does.
Yeah, so. That's funny, man. There was a time though, when it wasn't cool to like Nickelback or Creed or anything, and those have kind of. It seems like those have gone away. I mean, Brandon's doing a tour with them.
I think it was cool to hate Nickelback, but everybody that said they hated Nickelback and a Nickelback song came on, they
sang
not, they
every
didn't
word.
Skip it. They didn't skip it.
Of course not. No, I.
They weren't skipping it when they said they were skipping
but
it.
But that's the thing though. Like people fall. It's like a social media thing. It's like I'm gonna say it too.
Yeah.
You know this is my way of.
But they leaned into it, dude. They were like fully accepting that everybody hated them. It helped their music.
Totally, man.
Ticket buyers sure didn't hate them. I mean, that's the thing.
Still don't.
They may be a sellout, but that's because they sold out every.
Yeah, I actually saw them for the first time at Bridgestone two, three weeks ago.
Really?
And it was sold out.
The Brantley show, the ones that Brantley opened up?
Yep. Yeah.
I think Brantley Gilbert being out there and kind of an opening for them has really opened the door for them to a lot more folks and also and country music, too. You know, we're mashing it up from the countryside in rock, and they're kind of mashing it up from the rock side with a little bit of country in there, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that you're out there with not only Nickelback but Brantley Gilbert, and then you're going to – and have you met – both those guys yet? Or
I haven't met Nickelback yet. I haven't met Chad, but I have met Brantley.
So that's we played
a show with him in Alabama. I think it was, I don't remember where it was. It was in Alabama. I think it was around Birmingham. But we played an ATV park with him. And like that is his crowd. Like
yes,
the
sir,
ATV,
it is. Yeah.
Like,
yes, sir.
Like mud boggers are
yes,
like
sir.
His bag for sure.
That's so cool.
And we opened up for him and he played his show. And then he brought us onto his, me and my girlfriend, he brought us onto his bus and we just talked for like 2 hours.
Yeah, such
about
a
music
good dude.
And like, he's like, if you ever need anything, like gave me his number and like, if you need anything, just let me know.
And means it.
And he means it.
That's
and
the thing.
He invited me to
that.
His farm out in Georgia and we're trying to work that out still. But
out in Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how about that? You know, it's funny, man. I go back to the Wild Bills days with Brantley Gilbert and I remember being out there and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this place tonight. I mean, it was a rough crowd.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was then, you know, he was a different guy than he is now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And he's matured and, you know, got married and, you know, beautiful kids and all that. But Yeah, then it was a rough bunch.
Yeah.
And he still is. Some of it's still a rough bunch. But he's a different guy, though.
Right.
It's different.
Having kids will do that to you, I guess.
It will. Yeah, for sure. And, you know. And
should.
Yeah. It should. Yeah, it doesn't always, I guess. But it should. Yeah. And, but, yeah, Brantley, he's in a completely different place than he was then.
Yeah.
But it's been fun to watch that. You know, I remember walking on stage and introducing him there. And, like, I was like, all right, how do I get myself out of here? It was fun times.
I had been to the mud bogs before, like, just in Georgia, but that was something out of this world. Like, I mean, they had a hill that was completely just covered with razors and ATVs and just, like, I mean, like, as far as you could see, just a sea of...
What was the purpose of the razors?
It was a mud bog.
Well, I don't think I... Oh, so I don't think I've ever... Y'all That's do it like different a, than I do.
Or, side by side or a 4x4 razor or whatever, right?
Some kind of side by side.
Like, I was like, what? No, I was thinking like climbing up military. Wheel. Yeah, I was like, okay.
The four wheels.
I was thinking about razor wire.
I was like, good
He's
Lord.
He's back in basic
don't
training.
Do it like, we used to just go through the mud. We didn't set up anything.
What about motorcycles? I see your Harley shirt there, and I know Brantley's a big... he rides bikes, so what about you?
I love motorcycles. My brother used to race dirt bikes. I raced go-karts. He raced dirt bikes growing up, so I've always we've always just ridden all kind of stuff growing up.
You ever been to Sturgis?
Mm-mm.
Man, no. I think you're gonna be playing there a few times.
It seems like a good spot for sure. I've never been
to Sturgis about 4 or 5 years straight with Blackberry Smoke, and it's quite a gathering. You cannot prepare yourself for how crazy Sturgis is, but
I think you'll be there soon.
Yeah,
for sure.
I bet you.
But yeah, no, I just love bikes and motorcycles, and I've ridden a couple Harleys in my life. I've never owned one, but I think we'll own one at some point.
Yeah, gotta
life.
Get there.
Oh, yeah.
Zach grew up just riding four wheelers, man. We would ride on the power lines. Did y'all do that down there? Mm-hmm. Like the way the power lines would go, there would just be hills and because you know they'd go back there to work on service pass.
Right, they clear it out.
Line, and we would ride. I remember being so far from home, I wasn't sure if I was gonna have enough gas to get back, and had no idea how far it was or how much gas I had.
In the days before cell phones, old days,
absolutely. You know, and you just went through creeks and through mud holes, just the most fun you've ever had in your whole life, and you know probably should have killed myself a few times.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of the stupid stuff you would
do. Absolutely. I grew up wanting a four wheeler.
Yeah,
I never had one. All my friends did, and they had the big snorkel kits and stuff on them. But we had a golf cart.
And those are cool, too.
Yeah, well, one year, I think, I was in high school, and my buddy had a birthday party, and he had, like, 100-something acres of land and just mud holes and stuff. And I didn't have a four-wheeler, but all of them brought their four-wheelers out. And I was like, Daddy, just let me bring the golf cart out there. And I brought that golf cart out there, and I sank it in the mud hole. I mean, seat deep.
Daddy ready to kill you.
Ruined it. And I've never got... Yeah,
he's never forgiven you for that.
I got in trouble, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, if you wind up making a little money doing this, maybe I know one of the first Christmas gifts you're going to get for the folks, probably
replace it.
Yeah, I'll replace
maybe
it
a nice jacked up golf cart.
Yeah, especially that's what I said, because now they make those.
Oh, they're insane,
unbelievable.
Yeah,
they really are.
Yeah, it wasn't that one though.
Yeah, no.
that one definitely didn't belong in a mud hole.
But all that stuff is about the freedom of the open road or getting out there in nature, and you're about to hit that for sure. Are you going to tour around in a bus or a van? What's your plan, man?
I think we're going Sprinter van.
There you go.
We've been doing the hotels in like a transit, little small van. Yeah. I think we're going to upgrade to a Sprinter.
Stay off the bus as long as you can, man.
That's what I've been told.
It's so expensive, you know.
That's what I've been told.
It's like $5,000 to crank those things up.
Well, and the fuel, and then the driver, he's the biggest rock star on the tour, so it's not, you know, you stay in the van as long as you can.
Experience speaking over there.
But let's dig in a little deeper and talk about where you're going on tour real quick. You're starting but really smart by knocking out our three favorite schools. You're going to Georgia Southern, UGA, and Georgia College right away to kick off the tour, September 28, 29, 30. Blue Room in Statesboro, 40 Watt Club in Athens, Georgia, and Ned Kelly's Down Under in Milledgeville. Was that purposeful? Go ahead and start in your home?
Yeah, I think so. I think starting out with a bang for sure was the plan. I've actually never been to 40 Watt, so I'm excited to play there.
I'm going to come see you at that one. That's Tug and I's favorite place. And that's a place that's so cool because it's handed down this Georgia music tradition over the years. Mm. It's the place that launched REM and the B-52s, and then it became like the place where Widespread Panic and Driving and Crying and people like that could come up. And those folks all circle back and still come there. And then it became the place where, like, drive-by truckers, where it was their home, and now they do like 4 or 5 nights there just because they refuse to go down the street to the Classic Center. They want to play the 40 watt. And then it started launching country careers. Yeah, I mean, Luke Combs played, I think, one of his first shows ever there. And that's where he met Cappy. And so I think coming through the 40 watt is really a smart play, and then staying with the 40 watt, even when you get
even when you're beyond,
try to do 2 or 3 nights someday. You know, that'd be the goal if I were
for sure. Running for sure, yeah.
But so 40 watt club, you never even seen a show there, huh?
Never seen it.
Oh man, you're gonna.
I have, however, seen a handful of shows at Blue Room. I've been to Ned Kelly's once. But my brother's girlfriend actually goes to school in Milledgeville, so she's hopefully going to bring out all of their friends.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We want to be around.
She needs to make
crowd.
It mandatory for all the friends.
Yeah. But the first time I ever saw Hardy was at Blue Room in Statesboro.
That's cool.
So I've been looking forward to playing there for, you know, since I started making music, for sure. So.
Well, then you're going into the Midwest for a little bit. Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Milwaukee, Asbury Park, New Jersey up in the Northeast, and then D.C. A couple of questions about all that. Have you ever been to Washington, D.C. before?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
No.
That's going to be a fun one. You're playing this place called the Hamilton.
Have you been
there? Many times. I was just there with Cracker the other night. Great place. Great room. You'll love it. The sound of the room is incredible.
Cracker, do you remember them? They were early 90s alternative.
Really? They got a little country in there.
Yeah, too. Definitely some country in there, but I bet they were very influential in Nickelback and Creed and all those. How could they not have been?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you're gonna have to hook me up with some bands that I don't know.
After the gig in D.C., you're not playing again until the 26th. So late night after that, you're right around the corner from the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument when you're at the Hamilton. And the best time to go see that stuff is at night after the gig. It's open to the public and everything. It's all lit up, real cool. Go there for a little photo shoot.
Crowds are gone.
Don't go during the day. It's hot and there's a crowd. Yeah, the nighttime after the gig. A weird thing, though, that we should probably leave out, but I can't help myself. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Rave Bar. Be careful there. That's a Be careful there, buddy.
Well, you can't just leave. You can't just say that.
Well,
why?
A couple things. You know, it's said to be haunted. First of all,
I lived in a haunted house.
The country. Oh, cool.
Well,
let's go back to that. Yeah, you lived in a haunted house.
Yeah.
So you're ready.
So I grew up in Georgia, but I moved to Kentucky my second half of my high school. And my parents were renting houses, so we moved kind of every year. And we moved to this one house next to the school. It was the closest house we lived to that was closer to the school that we went to. And it was this old, antique looking house. And it looked like if you drove past it, it looked haunted. But my mom,
the look of
we did the tour of the house, and my mom was like, "This is super cute. You know, this is they got the tall, doors or whatever."
Like, Mom, it looks like Amityville Horror. No, it doesn't.
And we ended up moving in there. And to save the long story, the room I stayed in was really a loft above the house. It was kind of an attic, but it was a full room.
Yeah, big enough.
Had hardwood floors and everything. But the door was a latch that closed down.
I bet that was a creepy sound.
And especially so the latch would close down and it locked from the outside.
Holy cow.
So it was a staircase that went up to a latch that opened up and you walk in, and it was the whole top story of the house was one room.
Holy cow.
And I swear, and it never made sense to me. I always just thought I was dreaming, but people have called me crazy, but I used to wake up in the middle of the night and look over, and I'd swear I'd see somebody sitting in the corner of my room.
Wow.
And I would think I was dreaming, but she'd be sitting just like this. And I would just kind of go back to sleep because I'm like, that's probably
what do you mean you just go back to sleep?
Well, you see somebody in the corner
and go back to sleep?
Well, it's like when you're sitting in a deer stand, you know, and the sun's just kind of cresting up and you start making out things in the woods or whatever. Yeah. So I thought I was doing that.
It's different in a deer stand than a person.
But so I had covers over my blinds and stuff so I could sleep during the day. And I was laying there one night and all the blinds were shut. There was no light coming in whatsoever. And I saw an orb. It sounds as crazy as it is. I was laying there, and it was probably 12 o'clock at night, and there were no, way that headlights were coming into the windows. And an orb, flew past my face. And I turned over, and I had a girlfriend at the time. I looked over, and I said, "Hey, did you see that?" And she said, "Yes." And I grabbed the mattress and I brought it downstairs and I never slept up there again.
I don't blame you.
And we woke up the next morning And there was this big oak tree that was like right past the kitchen sink window. Like there was a window above the kitchen sink, and you look out, and there was this big oak tree. And I mean, we looked at it every day, like out the window. And there was nothing on the tree. And then after that morning, somebody had carved a name into that tree, and it said like Nia or Naya or something on the tree.
Do we suppose that's who had been hanging out in the bedroom?
Had to have been. My only guess.
Man, welcome to the Halloween edition of the Braves Country Podcast.
Anyway, the rave.
You UFO stories?
Yeah,
Let's get UFO stories.
You'll be fine at the rave then if you can put up with that. You'll be all right. So the rave, they have the nation's first Olympic-sized swimming pool was built in the basement of this building. It was used to be kind of like a community center or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now it's called the Rave and Eagles Landing. It's a multi-club kind of facility now or whatever. But that old swimming pool is still down in the basement. You should ask to go see it when you're there. You're not allowed to get in it, except for one guy gets in it. There's no water in it. One guy goes in there, though, and that's Marilyn Manson, and who you probably dig for your metal tendencies or whatever, you know? Yeah. And that's his dressing room when he works there. He sets up in the haunted swimming pool, which is weird, but everything he does.
I think I've heard it all.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Today I have.
And the other weird thing about the total crash. The other weird thing is that's Eagles Landing and the Rave is the main bar where Jeffrey Dahmer used to find some of his victims.
So awesome. Well, then let's
there we go.
Yes, you're right.
Slam the door back into that schedule.
You won't be there long though.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm kidding. No,
he's long gone, thankfully. So you'll be okay. But then let's talk about positive things. Then you're coming back down to the South, Oxford, Mississippi. Proud Larry's, great room. Done it a lot of times. You'll love those folks there in Oxford. Knoxville, Tennessee, open chord music on October 27th. Cat's Cradle up in Chapel Hill. It's in the Carrboro side, October 28th. That's a great room. Make sure you meet Frank Heath.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we've played a few of these rooms already with Warren Zeiders. We were out with him on tour.
Oh, right.
Cool,
we just had him on the show.
We
just had him on.
Okay, cool.
When he played here at Truist Park, he did one of the CMT shows.
Yep.
And then the classic Exit Inn, classic bar, Wednesday, November 1st, Nashville, Tennessee. And then you're finishing up in Kentucky, Louisville and Lexington on November 1
and
2.
Go back to find the house.
No. No. But that is like my second hometown, though. So, I mean, that'll be super cool to be back there. And I haven't been back. Great. When I go back home now, I go to Georgia because my parents moved back there since I was in the Air Force. And so I literally haven't been and seen any friends from Kentucky in probably 6-7 years.
Do you have a soft spot for the Wildcats?
No.
Not at all. That's good.
Nope.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Nope.
What about the future? What's coming up after this? More touring or anything you can tell us about?
Man, I'm super excited to just keep playing shows. I know we're making some changes to our band this run, just really dialing in and playing more live shows. I've never played a live show really before I moved to Nashville and before I'd signed my deals and stuff. So I'm still like in that phase of just like in awe of all of these live shows.
Yeah,
like
trying to figure it all out, man.
Oh yeah,
that's cool.
And I've learned the best by just shit, like stuff just thrown at me.
Yeah.
So I'm
that's
just
the military
that.
In you though, right?
Absolutely.
Being able, you know,
just
like
figuring it out,
be maneuvering. Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
And
it takes.
It's going to be like the military, and then you got to pace yourself. You know, you'll be fine.
Yep.
It's going to be
playing
great.
Shows and hopefully putting out a lot more music. So
yeah.
Before we wrap and get one more song. What are the places you like to go and get your belly full, man? Where is it?
Out here?
Whether in Atlanta or back home Dublin or Lexington or when you're on the road, wherever, across the Southeast.
Places you got to stop the van and you might get dinner, but you also might get something for later on because it's so
good. I mean, we eat horribly on the road. I will admit that. My diet is the worst. We make a lot of stops at McDonald's, which I regret. But in Nashville, as far as just places to go eat, Party Foul is insanely good if you like fried chicken and stuff like
that. And who don't?
I mean, any of the chicken places really in Nashville. Martin's Barbecue is another one.
Now, you just do fried chicken or you do that Nashville hot chicken thing?
I can't do hot stuff.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that.
What about
I did that once. That was enough, you know.
What about down in Dublin? Anything down there?
In
like
Dublin,
mom and pop you go to?
Jack's Hamburgers.
Attaboy.
Jack's Hamburgers.
It's downtown Dublin, and it's like this little, like, you walk in the door, and it goes straight back. It's like a bar, and you sit back. Like, you walk all the way to the back, and they have a bar, and they cook the food right in front of you.
All right.
And it's been there since my dad's dad's dad has been in Dublin.
That's awesome. So, see, that's the kind of place I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's right like family-owned. They serve you, like, little slider, like, burgers. Mm-hmm. and it's the coolest thing ever.
In Nashville, you ever been to Brown's Diner? Mm-mm. It's a trailer.
Really?
Yeah, and it's fantastic. Your heart will explode, I'm sure, at some
Brown's
point.
Brown's Diner.
Yeah, Brown's Diner is so good. Check it out. That's one of my favorite places, and I've not been in a few years, but next time I get back up there, absolutely, it's going to be a pit
stop. I'm
going
to try it, no, for sure.
I'm telling you, so good.
I'm going to Jack's. Give me a burger down there.
Get down to Dublin.
Please do it. Yeah. And tell them Austin sent you.
Okay.
I will.
They'll give us 10% off. Man, can we get one more song before we get out of here?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. Oh, shit. Let me not crack that TV.
No, man. You're all right.
So I play Pray All the Way Home. I don't know if you guys have heard that yet, but
can't wait to hear it.
Second song on XM Radio, so it's doing really well for us right now. I'm super proud of it.
Austin Snell on the Braves Radio Network on the Braves Country Podcast.
Yeah, I think me and God are a little tighter than you might think. I talk to him all the time. He knows that I drank to drown, get lost to get found. It won't work for everybody, but it's working for now. I empty the bottle and empty my soul. I sleep with the devil and I wake up alone. Kicking myself while I pick up my clothes. I make the same mistakes and I pray all the way home. Yeah, I dive into the deep end of every vice like I got a lifeline. She's gotta be the worst one. She drives me insane. She's firing my veins. Sometimes I think I don't wanna be saved. I empty the bottle and empty my soul. Sleep with the devil and I wake up alone. Kicking myself while I pick up my clothes. Pick the same mistakes and I pray. God are a little tighter than you might think. I talk to him all the time. I empty the bottle and empty my soul. Sleep with the devil and I wake up alone. Kicking myself while I pick up my clothes. Pick the same mistakes and I pray. Pick the same mistakes and I pray all the way home. Pick the same mistakes and I pray all the way home.
Son, that's where it's at right there. That is incredible, is. Brother. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time
for
to come.
Me.
And, man, it'd be great to get you back down here and
y'all let me
and,
know
and get you to a ball game or something.
Absolutely.
Go see the Braves play.
Yeah, I would love to just walk around this place during a game.
Shoot, yeah. I'm telling you, that part's fun, too. Yeah. You know, it really is, whether you're going to the game or not, because I've done it both ways.
Yeah.
And cool. And going and sitting in, like, Sports and Social has got the biggest TV in Atlanta. It's like 30 feet by 30 feet.
Really?
And another thing, if you don't have tickets to the SEC Championship, go watch it there. It is unbelievable. It was not too many years ago. Maybe 2018, I think. It's when Georgia lost in the national championship to Alabama the first time. Yep. Well, the SEC championship was Georgia-Auburn. And my wife and I watched it there with a bunch of friends.
Right.
And it was just as good as being – it was just as loud as the stadium.
Really?
It was the best atmosphere there at Sports and Socials. There's plenty to do, plenty to see here at the Battery, and it's so much fun.
Absolutely.
So you got to get out there and explore.
Yeah, I'm yet to see a Georgia home game.
Oh, my word.
I went last year for the first time to a Georgia game, and it was the Georgia Florida game in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
and that was great. But
yeah, you got to get to Athens, man.
I want to see a Georgia home game.
Some people call it heaven,
and a Braves game at Truist.
That's right. So absolutely, man.
And I think someday you'll be playing over here at the Roxy here I bet
there's something in the near future for that one too.
So we'll be seeing you around, man. So nice to meet you, buddy.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
There you go, man. Make sure you go check him out wherever you download music, wherever you stream music, and wherever you listen to the radio. Just look for – and make sure you call in and request, like if you're a radio station. Call in and request Austin Snell. Stu's a real deal, and we're certainly glad to have him here on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network on the Braves Country Podcast. Y'all come back now here.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Braves Country supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men, two phenomenal veteran organizations based in the South. Check out thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com for more info and resources. That's thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com. Braves Country would like to thank all of our nation's great veterans.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.